We are going to turn, God willing, to Revelation chapter 13. I have brought a message out of the opening 10 verses. Tonight I want to look at verses 11 through 18. That's Revelation 13, 11 through 18. And we saw in the first 10 verses of Revelation 13 a description of a political and ultimate Antichrist. But now when we come to verses 11 through 18, whereas in the opening 10 verses, he made the statement, don't want to misquote that, and I stood, this is verse 1, I miss calling attention to it, you don't have to go back there. I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea. Well, we found that to be the Antichrist. Now we're going to come to our verses tonight, and John sees a second beast. Look at verse 11. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. Now the other one came out of the sea. This one comes out of the earth. And the other one had 10 horns, but this one's only got 2 horns. Like a lamb, and he spoke, though, like a dragon. Now, let me just pause after reading that and just say to you, chapter 16, 19, and 20 call this particular beast that he's revealed in verse 11, they call him the false prophet. Where the beast that was in the opening verses from the sea would be the world political leader, the false prophet is the world religious leader. Let me put it to you as simply as I know how. You and I know of a holy trinity, don't we? We call him God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. There is an unholy trinity. And the unholy trinity is Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. And the verses tonight deal with the false prophet. So I'm going to read on down through verse 15. And if you keep notes, we're going to talk about the false prophet. What is said of the false prophet in verses 11 through 15. Let me read verse 12. And he exercises all the power of the first beast before him and causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast. So we know from what is said there, and I'm just trying to point this out as I walk through it, he's got something to do with getting people to worship the first beast. That's why we think he's the false prophet, and he's a religious leader whose deadly wound was healed. And he does great wonders so that he makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceives them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do, in the sight of the beast, talking about the first beast, saying to them that dwell on earth that they should make an image to the beast, that is to the Antichrist, which he had the wound by a sword and did live. Verse 15. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And folks, this false prophet's very serious about wanting you to worship this beast that comes up out of the sea. Out of the sea. Now let's talk about this false prophet. Some of his characteristics as the second beast, or as I've said, the false prophet. First of all, he comes up out of the earth. That means he comes up out of the land. We believe, and scholars believe, they're talking about the land of Palestine. They believe that's where he comes from. He's probably, if you were guessing and listening and reading what the scholars say, they think he is what we would call an apostate Jew. What would be an apostate Jew? A Jew who said, oh, I really believe in God. But boy, does he ever prove he doesn't believe in the Lord God. Now, that should not surprise me and you. How many people do we know right now, and I could call the names of them, some preachers who called themselves Christian, they have on record this week in the news of a Southern Baptist pastor, Beth, did I tell you, around Baltimore? He's told them that to say that homosexuality is a sin is not only controversial, that statement ought not be made. This Southern Baptist pastor, who in a heartbeat would tell you he believes in God as much as you do. So, folks, we don't need many more examples to see how the spirit of the Antichrist is at work right now, and we might as well say, because we know where the power emanates from, the spirit of the false prophet as well. So he comes out of the earth. Notice that he is a lamb-like creature in appearance, but he's very devilish in character. He is a befitting companion to the first beast. They have a lot in common. Even though the first one's got 10 horns and this one only has 2, he certainly is devilish in character. Third thing I'll mention to you about him, he directs worship to the first beast. I called attention to that as I read through that verse a moment ago. He wants people to worship the Antichrist. That makes him a satanic imitator of the Holy Spirit, who is directing worship. The Holy Spirit directs worship to Christ. Jesus said, when he, the Spirit, has come, he will bear witness of me. Now, let me just give you a little caveat not to ever forget. When a person supposedly loves God, and the emphasis is always on the Holy Spirit this, and the Holy Spirit that, and the Holy Spirit this, and the Holy Spirit that, and there's very little mention of Jesus, that person is messed up. Because when Jesus said, when the Spirit has come, he has come to bear witness of me. The Holy Spirit points people to Jesus. In other words, I learned this from Papa Sam. He said, Wayne, the one word I would use to describe the Holy Spirit in his work, and we do need to acknowledge his work and recognize there'll be no work done meaningful without him, but his actual work is in obscurity. He does not want you calling attention to him. He wants you to call attention to Jesus. And this false prophet wants you to, he's calling attention to the Antichrist. And so he's directing worship there. This unholy trinity is now, as we've studied the book of the Revelation, complete with Satan. He would be the anti-God. The first beast would be the Antichrist. And the second beast is the anti-Holy Spirit, if you will, please. He has power to put in verse 13 to perform miracles. These will be bona fide miracles. He knows what people crave and he will supply it. You say, Pastor, I don't understand that. Well, here's what you must understand. Everything supernatural does not find its actual emanating source from a holy God, particularly when there are supernatural things happen that lend themselves to unholy deeds and unholy acts and an unholy emphasis. And I always call attention because it's as basic and early in the scriptures, I know, but the Egyptian magicians worked, did I say musicians? I meant to say magicians, worked the same type of miracles that God did. Don't ever get your head screwed on in the wrong direction that if it's supernatural, God has to do it. No, he doesn't. Anything that seems to be supernatural that does not directly glorify Jesus Christ is a bootleg. Now, that doesn't mean it didn't happen. That just means it's not of God. Never. And so his power and program are of such magnitude, according to verse 14, he's going to deceive the whole earth. He's so going to deceive them. Verse 14 says there that he's wanting them that dwell on the earth, he wants them to make an image to the beast. And so he causes this image of the first beast to be made and placed in what scholars believe will be the rebuilt temple of Jerusalem. And at this time, the world will get its fill of image worship, which, by the way, is a characteristic of all false religion. Folks, let me tell you something about cults and false religions. If you find somebody that's wrong on the Bible, stay away from them. If you find somebody that's wrong on Jesus, stay away from them. Now, that would be the two most fundamental, but in my estimation, if they are wrong on the Holy Spirit, you better let them alone or you'll be more confused than a termite in a yo-yo. Folks, the Holy Spirit does not cause people to do goofy things. We've had movements in the last 25 years of people who became part of a, quote, move of, I put that in quotes, a move of the Holy Spirit, and they ended up part of what was known in that hour as a laughing revival. And by their own testimonies, they'd get together for prayer meeting, and the Spirit would move, and they would roll around on the carpet sometimes for 2 and 3 hours, laughing uncontrollably, and they couldn't get over it. Now, folks, there's something wrong with that picture. I'm all for good laughter over clean stuff, but, folks, laughter is not what points people to Jesus. The work of the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, is to convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Sin, to let me and you know that it's present in our lives. Righteousness, our need for it. And judgment, the fact that God is going to honor everything that is holy, and he's going to judge everything that is unholy. That's the work of the Spirit. Now, had he said somewhere that the work of the Spirit is to give people great laughter, uncontrollable, then I'd buy into that. But as Bill Stafford said one time, I'd believe every bit of that if it wasn't for the Bible, but it's not anywhere in the Bible. That's a made-up, trumped-up mess and fed to people that don't know the ABCs of the work of the Spirit. You ought to pray every day that God will fill you with his Spirit, because we all do leak of his infilling. We ought to pray before he fills us, Lord, empty me of the trash that's in my life and fill me with your Spirit. I want a heart, an attitude. I want a spirit like unto Jesus Christ. And folks, we talk a lot about being filled with the Spirit, and we do need to. The Bible gives a command, be ye filled with the Spirit. But folks, the only one you've ever seen or known that was totally full of the Spirit is Jesus. The rest of us are more full at times than others. So that's just so very crucial. So, last thing I want to say about the false prophet is verse 15. He causes the image of the beast to live. Now look at this. He had power to give life to the image of the beast. You say, Pastor, how could he do that? Well, you can come to your conclusion, since the text of Scripture does not explicitly tell us that. He does that just like he had Balaam's donkey talk out loud. Balaam didn't make the donkey talk out loud. You've never known somebody that could make a donkey talk out loud, but we believe God could. And what God is doing is bringing to fruition what he set in motion before the worlds were framed regarding creation, knowing that creation would be tainted by sin and we would need a new heaven and a new earth. And so he has granted in his purposes that the image of the beast will now live. We don't know what all that means. And to tell you the truth, folks, I think we ought to be as interested as whatever God had to say about it. And there are many things, to quote Dr. W.A. Criswell, left to the, quote, unmentionables of God. Folks, there's just some things God didn't tell me and you, and that's okay. Well, buddy, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask him. Well, I've said that, folks, 100 times, but did you know when I get to heaven, I may not even have a question. Because most of what concerns me, I want to ask him. I don't believe it's going to concern me when my eyes have laid hold of his precious face and the throne on which he sits. You know, some time ago there was a report circulated in a certain city that I saw this on television, that an image of the Virgin Mary actually started to weep. And folks, the faithful, flocked by the thousands, traveled from various places in the world wanting to see that image of Mary weep. Now, I'm trying my best not to be critical, but I do want to say this. I wonder that how many people wept over the reality that they've got loved ones that's going to die from this world and go straight to hell if something isn't done by the Spirit, and if God doesn't use somebody to bring them to faith in Christ. I wouldn't, folks, if they told me that the first president of the Southern Baptist Convention, there's a monument in Nashville, I don't know that there's one, but if they told me there was one, and that monument is weeping, I wouldn't walk across the street to see it. That has no eternal consequence on nothing. None whatsoever. So there's the false prophet. Now we're going to look at verse 16 and 17, and let's notice here the protection by the beast. And as I look at these two verses and start to read them, in Revelation 7, we saw the servants of God sealed for protection during the time of the tribulation. So let's pick up in verse 16. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Now, this beast obviously performs another act of sealing. How does he kind of say that in verse 16? Well, everyone, small and great, rich and poor, are going to receive this mark, this seal, in the right hand of the forehead. Well, now what he's doing, he's imitating God. This sealing is for another kind of protection. Under the breaking of the seals, you'll remember in the study of our prophecy, the great famine prevails upon the earth. We learn that later, one-third of the vegetation is destroyed, one-third of the maritime life is perishing, and one-third of all fresh water is rendered unfit to drink. The world has seen terrible food shortages, but they hadn't seen anything like what's going to come. Folks, if you've got a third of the maritime perishing, a third of the vegetation, and a third of the water that's rendered you can't drink it, what do you think's going to happen in a world that is one-third short, and even now with a storm coming, milk and bread is gone at the drop of a hat? I'm not trying to be crude, but it was almost humorous. They make the announcement of COVID, and you ought not be getting out in those early days. They said we're all going to die, nobody going to live. And I'm telling you, you couldn't buy, of all blooming things, bathroom paper. And you're going to now take a third of the world's supply of what it takes to feed the 8 billion or so that's on the planet. You don't think you're going to have people killing to get what you got to eat? You don't think there could be in some places cannibalism, just kill you and eat you? Now, folks, you need to hear some people who have served in various war times, tried to escape being taken as prisoner and lived in the jungles. What they would eat, I won't even rehearse it for you. You don't know what you would do until you're so hungry you could die. There's certain animals that we hear of people eating in some of the other countries. Ooh, I wouldn't do that. You get hungry enough, it amazes you what you'd do. J. Harold Smith told me he was in the Philippines, and he said to the people where they were eating, he said, the meat's pretty good. What is it? And the Philippine lady had very broken English, and she said, what? And he said, the meat. Good meat. What kind is it? She said, doggy. He said, boy, I wouldn't eat that. I would not eat that under any circumstances. Well, you think you wouldn't. And furthermore, if you want to go home and help yourself with your diet, let me tell you what you do. You study what a chicken is and how dirty one is and what an egg is, and you eat it for breakfast. When you get through looking at that and then tell me there's not anything you... If you eat a chicken and an egg, you'll eat anything that moves. You're welcome. You say, Pastor, you're going to make me sick. Well, it is quite sickening, to tell you the truth. Well, I've mentioned here that the beast performs an act of sealing, but let's look in verse 17. We see there'll be a food rationing system that will be unprecedented, that no man can buy or sell unless he has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Now, it won't matter on that day if you got Elon Musk money. You've got to have, according to verse 17, you got to have the mark, the name, or the number. Now, some of you in this room would be old enough to remember a time. It was actually taking place before I was born, where rationing books were issued by the federal government. And if you didn't have a stamp, you couldn't buy whatever it was you were needing. And it's a very serious moment. And so instead of issuing rationing books, which, as I mentioned, senior adult population would remember that, the beast is going to cause a mark to be put on your hand or on your forehead, and that will indicate that you are one of his followers anywhere you go in the world. The question will be, or the statement won't be, where's your rationing ticket? The statement would be, where's your mark? Show me your mark. And that'll be heard everywhere. The decree or the executive order will be enforced by the most ruthless Gestapo organization ever known. The very nature of it will be a worldwide spy system. I hate to tell you and me, I've tried to make humor out of some things. It's not really humorous. It's probably been 7-8 years ago. Napolitano, the guy who, I guess he's still with Fox. I don't ever see Fox anymore. Andrew, Judge Napolitano. He said the next big battle in America is going to be who really has rights to the space above the top of your house. He said most Americans don't know that we've got drones from the size of full aircraft and some, he said, the size of your pinky. And if they want to fly by your window, that one the size of a pinky will have a camera on it and they can see right in your house. I told someone when we was talking about this last year, I said, I'm so concerned about the lack of privacy, even when I go in mine and Beth's private bathroom, I cover up with a blanket while I'm in there for fear somebody's going to see me. Well, folks, we laugh about it, but if you've been in a retail store, you're under camera. You're being videoed. A friend of mine told me this story a couple years back. He gets out to his car. If I called the retail place, you'd be very familiar with it and probably shop there. And he said, I thought that was a little extra. I didn't buy that much, and so I looked at my ticket, and there was on my ticket a guitar, and he told me the price of the guitar. He said, I didn't buy no guitar. So I go back in, and I said, ma'am, I don't know how this has happened, but right here on my ticket is a guitar, and I didn't buy one. I've never bought one here nor anywhere else, and I was charged for something I didn't get. And he said, all you got to do is look back over your footage and you'll see when I checked out what I checked out and you'll see me leave the store. They checked the footage and said, sir, we don't know how it happened either, but you did not check out with a guitar. Folks, there is no privacy. I no more. I try to let my conversations on my iPhone be something that I'd tell the whole wide world. And every text you send is being stored in somebody's hard drive somewhere. Talking about keeping up with you, they keep up with you right now. You know, for a number of years, people have thought that Glenn Beck was about half crazy because he revealed that General Motors already have on their cars where they know everywhere you've been, the speed you were traveling, and the whole nine yards about you. Folks, they're keeping up with you. Big Brother knows more about you than you know about you. And it's not going to get better. So a little meditation on the subject will lead you to come to a conclusion that most of our present-day inventions are going to lend themselves to the enforcement of this order. Back during the days, latter term of President Barack Obama, and as far as I know, this had nothing to do with him. I'm just trying to identify the time. They told us about a building being built in the state of Nevada, I believe, Utah. So they were asking this person who knows about it, is this something that should worry Americans? And he said, not that we know of, but I will say this. Based on what I know about it and what it will contain, should the whole world need to be run from that one building, it can. People who are in military intelligence know that you could have somebody sitting at any one of our places, our bases, and they can send and shoot the missiles as well from this country as they could if it's over in the war zone. Folks, the world has come to be about the size of a quarter, and you're nothing more than a speck, and they know everything that's going on. That's just where we are. My mother said to me back in the days, y'all remember when we had bag phones? Mine was a hard side. Mine wasn't in a bag. It was just a hard side phone. And it was sitting up on the dash of my vehicle, and I made a call. When I hung up, my mother was with me, and she said, I just do not understand how that can work. I said, well, honey, don't feel like a Lone Ranger. I don't either. I just know that it does. So, folks, I do know that I've had enough people in government say to me, that back in the 40s, the military was using what we call cell phones today. So they did not come out in the 80s or 90s like some think. Well, let's look at verse 18. That'll close us out at the personal designation. He said, now here is wisdom. Let him that has understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his, that is man's number, is 600, 66, 60. He said his number is 666. That's the number of a man. So the question we ask about this beast and false prophet, or this Antichrist who's behind it all, what's his number? Well, folks, there's been more discussion on that. Volumes, you can't count on the people who tried to attempts to work out some of the name of the individuals of the past. I've shared with you that there were people who said, we now know who the Antichrist is. His popularity proves it. It's Ronald Reagan, because his name is Ronald Wilson Reagan. R-O-N-A-L-D, that's six letters. W-I-L-S-O-N, that's six letters. Reagan, R-E-A-G-A-N, six letters. He's 666. Folks, the devil laughs at that. They've tried to force every kind of mold into that you can possibly imagine. Many religious magazines carried articles during the World War I about the word Kaiser fitting into the scheme. In World War II, even more was brought into the scheme of trying to figure out who this is. It is ridiculous. It is far-fetched. And here's why it's ridiculous. God never tells us. That's the bottom line. There was someone who was so sure that one of the dictators filled the scheme that long after the ruler's death, he insisted that that guy's going to come back from the dead. I promise you, he's the Antichrist. Well, I promise you, folks, he's been sniffing too much glue. You have people who said that Nero was the Antichrist, and all that continues now. Now, here's what we know. Six is the number of a fallen man. We don't have any doubt about that. We know seven is the number of a perfect God. Man is six, less one less than perfection. Man's attempt to rule without God and find his supreme effort at the end of the age in the trinity of evil and the dragon and the beast and the false prophet comes down to him saying 66. However, with that number, we still don't know his name. So what is his name? He don't tell us. I thought it was kind of funny a while ago. I have a program. Y'all don't have a program. And I wasn't paying attention because I use a hymn book generally. But I did not use a hymn book on that one chorus we were doing. And when I looked down at my program, in the book, that was number 666 tonight. Here's what one person wrote as poetry. The seal of God is on his own. Aren't you glad of that? Secure are all his sheep. The evil one may all harass, but God will surely keep. Not so for those who do not trust in God's own holy son. On hands and head they'll have a seal, but from that wicked one. World's darkest night will then take place. No ray of hope breaks through. Flee now to him. He wants to be God's hiding place for you. That's who Jesus wants to be. In the Old Testament, we've got an ark. We got a storm coming. God is warned that judgment is coming. Flee for the wrath of God. And Noah was this person who was going to build the ark and did build the ark, and he gave warnings, apparently from what the Bible says, 120 years. And if God gave him any encouragement, and as far as I know, God may have encouraged him every day, but we don't have any record of God encouraging him. But folks, there came a day, like God said, the rain started, and then everybody wanted in the ark. But the Bible says God shut the door. Folks, Jesus is the ark of the new covenant because the message is still the same. Are y'all listening? Flee from the wrath to come. God's wrath is coming. And there's one ark, and it's not Noah's. His name is Jesus. And all who are in Christ Jesus are spared the chaos, the destruction, and the judgment. Because as Isaiah said, it pleased the Lord
to lay on him the iniquity of us all. And he was judged. He was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we're not necessarily, like some of our other Christian brothers want to say, we're not necessarily healed in body through the atonement. But your soul is healed. And you will not die not knowing whether or not the wrath of God has been appeased. How do we know God's wrath against you and me is appeased and it is no longer on us? Because there's one that took our place. He suffered, he bled, he died, he was buried. And 3 days later, he came forth from the dead. And in the time of his earthly ministry, his Father had already said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." After 40 days after the resurrection, he ascended back to the Father, and there he ever liveth. I love that. He doesn't just live. He ever liveth. Not to just for a while to make intercession for us, but he ever lives right there to make intercession for us. You know, there's an insurance company on television. They used to say, "You're in good hands with Allstate." Shoot. They don't even know the half of it. They ought to be in Jesus' hands. You talk about in good hands. You're in the hands that's nail-scarred, and you are safe and secure in him. Aren't you glad that you don't have to put up with the unholy Trinity? Aren't you glad for God the Father who planned your salvation? God the Son who provided your salvation? And God the Holy Spirit who protects your salvation? You're sealed in him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for such timely truth and reality. And in a world that can be very discouraging, this book of all books tells us that there is a God who is holy, who is greater than any Lucifer. There is indeed the Christ who is greater than any and every Antichrist. There is indeed who is the prophet above all, who is greater than the false prophet. I pray that now, by the Spirit's work, that you will just encourage the hearts of every person, bless them in body, soul, and spirit, and prepare each of us, our enlarged church family, and the community at large, for the worship of you on the Lord's day. Lord, have your way in us tonight. May we not wait till Sunday, but may we just yield to you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother John leads us, and as he does, would you stand, please?